check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
You don't really know much about Halloween. You thought no further than the strange custom of having your children wear masks and go out begging for candy. It was the start of the year in our old Celtic lands, and we'd be waiting in our houses of wattles and clay. The barriers would be down, you see, between the real and the unreal. And the dead might be looking in to sit by our fires of turf. Halloween. The festival of Samhain. The last great one took place 3,000 years ago when the hills ran red with the blood of animals and children.
Sacrifices.
Part of our world. Our craft.
Witchcraft.
To us, it was a way of controlling our environment. It's not so different now. It's time again. In the end, we don't decide these things, you know. The planets do. They're in alignment, and it's time again. The world's going to change tonight, Doctor. I'm glad you'll be able to watch it. Happy Halloween.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends. Today, we're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I am doing spooktastic, I would say.
Well, that would be a good feeling because as this episode is released, it is Halloween. So happy Halloween to everybody. This is a, Halloween. I love Halloween. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love it. But it's almost a little anticlimactic because I kind of live Halloween all year round. So
right,
but no. I do love Halloween. I always joke that I'm a fourth quarter guy, right? Because from Halloween through Christmas is my jam. That's my time of year. But yeah, as far as we're concerned, you know, a lot of people up their spooky movie watching, and you know what? We watch them all year round. So. But still, nonetheless, it is Halloween, which means this is the third annual Screams Family Halloween special. And later in the episode, we will be counting down and discussing our top five favorite holiday movies. This is not Halloween the franchise. This is Halloween pertaining to the holiday movies. No wives on this episode, unfortunately. We couldn't get the scheduling to coincide with them. But they will be on the show soon, I'm sure, for a wise rebuttal and to bitch at us and all that good stuff. Whatever it is they like to do, particularly Monica. But before we dive into all the spooky fun today, Ike, did you watch anything this week?
I did. I watched a few movies of note. First things first, I watched a movie on YouTube. It was a free movie through like the YouTube movies thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Live Scream. So it's about a streamer who plays a game, and the game kind of pulls his viewers into the game, and he has to make decisions that could lead them to their peril. And it's definitely a low budget movie. It's pretty cheesy, but I had some fun with it.
Yeah.
And then I did also watch the Unfriended movies.
Oh yeah.
They're pretty interesting. It's a very unique style that it's basically from the perspective of like a Skype meeting.
Yeah.
So those are fun. I also, for some reason, had an itching to watch the original Wrong Turn movie. I don't know why.
All right. Well. There's
All
worse
right.
things.
Right, Cabin Fever, which is on my list, actually. I
Oh
want to
yeah.
watch
Woo! Yeah,
it.
don't get me started.
Don't get them started. And then last but not least, I've been wanting to watch Hell House Origins Carmichael Manor.
Yeah.
But I wanted to rewatch the Hell House movies first, so I made it through one and two. So tomorrow I'm gonna watch three and then finally watch Origins. So I'm pumped for that.
I've seen all those. I mean, I love the Hell House movies, and that's very very prudent. It's not in our news today, but they did actually just start filming the newest Hell House movie, which is
Ooh.
r rumored to be the last. I don't know. I don't know if that's been announced, or I just saw that it's rumored to be the last. I'm not sure why, but yeah, I do love the Hell House movies. Those are very fun, and yeah, so I have seen all those. They're good watches. Let's see, what did I watch? I finished my Halloween rewatch, so I've now watched all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, the Friday the 13th, and the Halloweens, and now I have completed the Scream franchise and rewatching all those. And I don't know. I watched the first Child's Play, so I guess I'm going to watch through that franchise next, and that'll probably round out my franchise rewatches, for the most part. But other than that, I didn't really don't think I watched anything really horror related. I don't think there was a lot kind of new that dropped that I watched. If so, I'm not recalling it. So. Completed that. Like I said, watched all the way through the Scream franchise, and I did post this on our social media. But rewatching the Scream franchise, man, I have to say, I think there is an underappreciation for Scream 4. I
Yeah.
really, really do. I don't remember when we did our Scream franchise where we ranked Scream 4. But man, that's a fun movie. I really like it, and I don't know. But I kind of Scream fever there because there's lots of talks about the new Scream movie. We do have a bit of news coming in the news section coming up. But before
That we
we,
do.
that's right. But before we get there, we've got lots to talk about. Some of it Halloween related. So here we go.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And our first segment is our cheesy slasher of the week. Well, actually, since this is Halloween, this is our cheesy Halloween special of the week. And today we present to you the Halloween that almost wasn't. This was originally aired on October 28, 1979 on ABC. And it is described as upset by rumors that Halloween may end, Dracula calls his mild-mannered monsters together and delivers the ultimatum. Either regain their frightening image or leave his Transylvania castle forever. This special is written by Colman Jacoby and Bruno Caliandro, directed by Bruce Bilson, is starring Judd Hirsch, Mariette Hartley, John Shook, and more. Judd Hirsch, of course, has been in lots and lots of things. He was, let's see, what was he in? He was in Taxi, of course. He was, Stu, excuse me, Oh, I can't think of his name. He was in Big Bang Theory. He was why can I not think of his name? What was Johnny Galecki's? Why am
That's
I?
not Sheldon, Leonard.
No. Leonard. It was Leonard's dad. That was Judd Hirsch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but obviously probably his most notable. I mean, Taxi was a big show. I know lots of people may not know. Younger guys may not be familiar with Taxi. It was a huge show. And it was a very, very good show. I mean, it had Judd Hirsch, Tony Danza. Just lots of people in it. God, I'm shooting blanks on names here. Andy Kaufman was in it. My God, what's the guy from Back to the Future that played the doctor?
Oh, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. God, I don't know why I'm shooting such blanks today on names.
It
Yeah, all these
happens.
people were in Taxi. Taxi was a great show. Anyway, but yeah, was it Judd Hirsch was it or was in this special? And this special did air every year on the Disney Channel from 1983 to 1996. It is cheesy, but it's fun. It's kind of a very family-friendly type thing. And it did have a limited VHS release under the name The Night Dracula Saved the World. So anyway, I'm pretty sure this is available. I think it's on YouTube. It's very easily readily available. It is cheesy. It's a TV special for the family. Not your classic universal interpretation of the monsters, but they're close, right? You know what they are. But it's a fun little special. It is cheesy. And if you're looking for something kind of Halloween-y to watch, this is it. I believe there's a witch that is threatening Halloween to cancel Halloween or to whatever, and that's the whole thing. Dracula's kind of the good guy in this, which is kind of odd. But anyway, there you go. That's our Halloween special take on Cheesy Slasher of the Week. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. And it is now time for Talk to Us Internet. This is where Ike and I take either listener feedback or just a topic of conversation we have seen on social media, and we briefly discuss it here on the show. And I did see an interesting discussion on X that came up that caught my eye, and I thought this would be appropriate for a Halloween special. So I wanted to bring it here. So, Ike, let's discuss this. What is your favorite Halloween tradition to do?
Oh man, that's hard because I have a few. Obviously, and I don't know how much of a tradition it is because we do it every year and we do it all the time. But we watch a lot of movies. That's obviously a huge one. We watch a lot of scary movies. There are obviously certain movies that we watch around this time. Your Halloween, your trick or treats, and there's a lot of like Disney movies, like Halloween Town, Hocus Pocus, and so forth that we watch. Outside of that, every year we try and we didn't get around to doing it this year, but we do like to go to like a pumpkin patch or a haunted house. Last year we went to a haunted house again. We were really busy this year. We had family coming through and stuff, so we didn't get around to a lot of this, but we typically go to a pumpkin patch. Typically we go to a haunted house or some sort of haunted attraction. And we also typically we make some kind of baked good around this time. For people out there who don't know, I love to bake. So I'm a man of many talents. I love to
There you
bake,
go.
and I like to make
Regular
cookies. There
fucking Renaissance man.
you go. But yeah, I'm actually gonna bake something this week. I'm not totally sure, but like I would love to make some pumpkin cookies, like chocolate
There you
chip
go.
pumpkin cookies. You
Oh,
picking up what I'm putting down?
yeah, those are delicious. I do love those. Yeah, it's again, like I said, we obviously, you and I, we watch horror movies all year round. I mean, part of it for the show, but even if we weren't doing the show, it would still be what we do,
Oh, yeah.
as kind of horror junkies. But there are certain things that I do around Halloween that I don't, like I said, these franchise rewatches, right? I watch all these franchises straight through. Whereas the rest of the year, I wouldn't do that so much as just watch, particular movies from the franchise, my favorites. And they're like you said, certain movies like the Hocus Pocus or whatever that, and some other things that I only watch this time of year. I really wouldn't rewatch them otherwise, probably for the rest of the year. I do love the whole candy aspect, right? I love sweets, right? I love candy,
Oh yeah.
and I'm a junkie for candy, so I do love. I'm a sucker for the novelty stuff, right? Even if it's a standard candy that you get it otherwise, but that it's in a Halloween shape or a Halloween box or whatever. I love that, right? Like, I love the Reese's pumpkins, and I love just any of that kind of stuff where they just do that weird stuff. I'm a sucker for that, not only for Halloween, but even for Christmas. I love that kind of stuff. But probably my favorite Halloween tradition, I love to carve pumpkins. I love, or
Yeah.
to carve jack-o'-lanterns. And I always try to do something fun with it. There's the part of me that's a traditional as far as jack-o'-lanterns. I like that triangle eyes and the jagged teeth, that traditional jack-o'-lantern, but I try to do something fun. Last year I did the one from Trick or Treat, right? That looked like that. We haven't carved pumpkins yet. We have the pumpkins, they're in there. But we're gonna be carving them in the next few nights, as we record, right? This is prior to obviously Halloween. And I think I'm gonna try to do some kind of ghost face type thing, right? Just the eyes, the nose, the mouth. Very
Oh yeah.
distinctive. Because we have one pumpkin that's kind of oblong tall. And I think that would work well. So I think I'm gonna do that this year. By the time you hear this, there probably will be pictures on social media of this jack-o'-lantern already. But that might be probably my favorite tradition, right? I love jack-o'-lanterns. There's that to me is I don't know, that's just like the symbolic jet, whatever, centerpiece of Halloween for me is the jack-o'-lantern. I've always carved jack-o'-lanterns, and I love that, right? I love carving them. I love lighting them up, taking a picture with them, putting them on the porch. And then I'm not the kind of guy that lets them sit out there till they rot and decompose. I throw them out pretty much right after Halloween because a little OCD. I don't want a disgusting decomposed pumpkin on my porch. But
That's fair.
yeah, for but I love with holidays. I love so much about it. Right, the smells, the colors, just. And it triggers nostalgia for me, right? It triggers these emotions and these feelings that I love to be able to tap into. And all these things do that, right? If I just go into a store and seeing, the Halloween candy displays triggers it for me. And carving a jack-o'-lantern or watching certain movies or certain specials. And I love that. I love that feeling that it brings to me, right? Where it takes me back to my childhood or whatever it might be, certain things. I love that feeling, and I am just, man, I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for Halloween. I'm a sucker for Christmas. I'm just like the sucker for the commercial side of this stuff because I love that stuff. Right? I am literally the white girl pumpkin spice fanatic. I love pumpkin spice, right? Whatever it is, I love all those flavors. If I see something out that says it's pumpkin flavored, I'm like, dude, I got to try that. And
Right.
I love it. I'm just a sucker for that stuff. I'm a sucker for all the novelty stuff, whether it be candy. I'm the guy that literally already for Thanksgiving from last year, I already have my little butter shaped like a turkey. You know, that
Right.
you can buy those. Well, when they marked them down last year, already bought one. It's already in the freezer, so I've already got that. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, right? Because I'm a total kid at heart when it comes to these holidays. So anyway. Long story short, I have lots of Halloween stuff that I view as tradition, the decorating and everything else. Probably the centerpiece for me, the peak of the season for me is that carving of the jack-o'-lantern. That's the most symbolic thing. As we record this, we've not done it yet. We have purchased the pumpkins. They will be done in the next day or two. And I very much look forward to it because I just love it, right? I love, doing that. Love, Monica roasts the pumpkin seeds after. It's just everything about that just feels like Halloween. And I don't know. I think the thing about Halloween is it's like, we live in it all year round, it feels like. And it's just like this is when the rest of the world joins us. And these things that we appreciate and love all the time. And for those of you that want to partake, we do have a t-shirt. Spooktober is a year-round event. Check our links. You can purchase that shirt because, while Halloween comes once a year, Spooktober is all year round. So,
That's
buy
very
the
true.
shirt. That's right. Buy the shirt if you are a junkie like we are. So, all right. Enough waxing nostalgic. Let's move on.
Top three.
In our next segment, I guess I said enough waxing nostalgic, but you know what? I guess we're going to do it a little more. Because we're doing top three this week, but we're doing a unique take. This is going to be our top three favorite trick or treat candy. Just meaning, if you were a kid, you were trick or treating. What would you, if you dumped that sack out and you saw it, what would make you just be like, yeah, I got that? Which is just, I guess, essentially boils down to kind of our favorite candy in general.
Right.
I do have some honorable mentions that didn't make my top three. Do you have any honorable mentions, Ike?
Yeah, I have a few.
Okay, well, let's start with our honorable mentions. And first of all, a couple of my honorable mentions are M&M's and Reese's Pieces. I absolutely love both. M&M's, pretty much any carnation I like. I do love peanut M&M's. I love plain M&M's. But I'm absolutely in heaven with Reese's Pieces. Anybody that knows me knows that I love peanut butter and chocolate in that combination. Spoiler alert for my top three. But anyway, I do love Reese's Pieces. I kind of clump those and M&M's in together. So those are kind of my honorable mention. And my other honorable mention is a divisive candy. It is candy corn. I know people either hate it or they love it. I love candy corn. But I can only take it in moderation because candy corn is just pretty much pure sugar. And there's only so much of it I can eat before I'm like, whoo, I gotta take a break. But I love candy corn and all those versions of it, right? The candy with the little pumpkins and all that stuff. I like it. I know people complain about it being like waxy. I don't get any of that. I just that none of that. I don't know. That's weird to me. And now I know candy corn's very sweet. And it's like I said, it's almost like it tastes like pure sugar. But I love candy corn. And part of that, I guess, is nostalgia because candy corn to me is it's fall. That's Halloween. But yeah, again, I'm a sucker for candy. So Ike, what are your honorable mentions?
I will say that I do like candy corn. I do agree that I think it's overhated. I think that people who hate on it just want to hate on it. It's the Nickelback of candy. And it, like, bro, it's not that deep. It's just candy.
Yeah.
But anywho, I do like candy corn. Honorable mention for me, I do really like the caramel apple suckers. I'm not sure if you've ever
Oh,
seen those.
yes. Okay, here's the thing. You know what? I forgot about those. Those probably would have made my top three because we get those every year. I fucking will just plow through a bag of those. Those are the best things like ever. I freaking love those things because, man, it's like you hit them and there's that caramel feel. Oh, it's so good. And then you hit that sour apple. Oh, those are the best. I totally forgot about those, but yes, I love those things. Those are like one of the
Well,
best creations of all time.
they really are, and like they actually have like a sampler pack, and it's like the red juicy apple, it's golden
Ah.
delicious, and the green apple. So we got a bag of those this year, and man, they are so good. So yeah, that's an honorable mention. It almost made my top three, but I'll be real with you, I'm a chocolate guy, so all of my top three have some sort of chocolate involved.
Yeah, me too.
I do like fruit candies and like your candy corns and stuff like that. But and this is another controversial one that I actually really enjoyed as a kid. I really enjoyed dots, getting those.
Yeah.
Like the and like I don't know, I love dots and I haven't had them forever. And we were talking about, you were like, hey, because you sent over the notes and I read through them. And I was like, oh man, top three candies. And so I started reminiscing and looking at different candy brands. I'm like, oh, I fucking love dots and I haven't had them in forever. But anyways, that's an honorable mention. And I do have one other honorable mention that I really, really, really like, Twix, but it did
Oh
not
yeah.
make my top three.
Yeah, I do. I love Twix. I love both the caramel and both and the peanut butter Twix. Love them both. I do love dots. I've had dots. I have dots semi-regularly because right, that's one of those box candies that you can get pretty cheap at like, the grocery store.
Right.
And dots was, I don't know what dots is like crossed over to almost like a theater type candy. I don't get it at the theater. But it's because
Right.
it's become this box candy. I do love dots, right? Because it's essentially like it's like a gummy, right? Just a gummy candy, right? It's a fruity gummy candy. I love it. Really good stuff.
Oh yeah. I'll say if Kayla was on here, she would have been like Sour Patch Kids, and like I do like Sour Patch Kids. But
Yeah.
man, I feel like dots are superior to Sour Patch Kids in my
Me too.
opinion. So,
Yeah, I do like sour candies, right? Like Sour Patch Kids, Lemonheads. Things
right.
like that, but if I'm like going for something, sour doesn't just it's not it didn't rank up there for me, right? It's just not I'm not going for the sour if that's my choice.
Right.
I like it, I'll eat it, but it's like if I had a preference or a choice in the matter, I'm not going for sour over something fruity or something chocolate. I'm a chocolate fucking junkie. I mean, if I'm going for something, it's chocolate. And you mentioned Twix. Twix is definitely one of my favorite candy bars. Like I said, both the caramel and the peanut butter, just a perfect combination. I even love some of the novelty stuff they put out. It's good stuff. They have a salted caramel. Have you had that one? Oh, good stuff.
I'm not the salted caramel, but I have had, they have a cookie dough Twix.
Oh, good stuff too. Yeah, see, like
I'm
I
a cookie
said,
dough fiend.
yeah. I'm a sucker for all this novelty stuff when they put this weird flavor. Like one of my favorite. Well, we'll discuss it here, man. Let me put that on pause. So let's dive into our top threes. And I'll start. My number three is a divisive candy, I feel too. But one of my favorite candies for Halloween or just candy bars in general, my number three is an Almond Joy.
Ooh.
I love Almond Joy. I love Mounds too. I like them both, but I like that almond. Mounds though has that dark chocolate, which is nice. So I'll take both. But I love Almond Joy because I love coconut, right? And I know that's very divisive. People love or hate coconut. I like coconut, right? I like coconut stuff. I will eat just coconut meat or whatever you call it from a coconut broke. I ate that as a kid, right? We would break up a coconut and I would eat it. I love coconut water. I love all that. But Almond Joys are just, they're fucking delicious, as are Mounds.
Yeah.
And when we get like an assorted bag of the mini candies or whatever else, it is literally, it's like a fight to get the Almond Joys because I love those. Definitely one of my favorite Halloween candies, just an absolutely one of my favorite candy bars just overall. And I'm guessing by your reaction, like that you like the Almond Joys as well.
Oh man, I don't know whose idea it was to have two fat guys talk about candy before they had
Yeah.
dinner. But
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I love Almond Joys. I love Mounds. Now, I completely forgot about those. I don't think it would crack my top three because my top three is pretty solid. But oh, I could demolish a bag of Almond Joys. Like that would be so bad for my calorie deficit. But oh my God, I love coconut. I love Almond Joys. I love the
Me too.
almond. Oh my God, it's
Me
so
too.
good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is literally, it's just such a good combination, right? You throw that almond in there, it's nice, get that crunch. But I do love Mounds because I love dark chocolate. And
Right.
so there's something to be said for Mounds. But man, just it's such, and I know it's one of those, you either love it or you hate it. And I love it. I think it's a great, great candy bar. Would be definitely one of those that if I was trick-or-treating, I would love to get in my bag. So
Hell
let's
yeah.
move on. Ike, what is your number three favorite trick-or-treat candy?
My number three favorite is a classic. It is a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
I love Snickers. I would say that this ranks up there with my favorite candy bars. There are some other like I would say that there's like certain candy bars like your Milky Ways, your Three Musketeers, your Snickers. Those are like I mean this in like a good way, but those are like the most common run-of-the-mill candy bars. But like for me, Snicker is so good. I love the caramel, I love the nougat, the chocolate, the peanuts. It's just so good. And then, as a candy bar in general, they have like peanut butter Snicker, they have
Oh.
almond Snicker, they have cashew. I mean, they have all these different types of Snicker
Yeah,
bars.
yeah.
And like you said, these candy companies, they know how to keep me fat because they always come up with
Right.
such good variety. But
That's
what do
right.
you? I'm assuming that you also like Snicker bars.
I do. Spoiler alert, or I guess not a spoiler. That is just moving on. That is my number two favorite candy is
Oh,
a
there you go.
Snickers. Yeah. And you mentioned it, right? I love Three Musketeers. I love Milky Way. I love Mars Bar. I love all those. But to me, if you're taking those, that group of, because they're all, I don't know, they all seem very similar to me or whatever you might call it. Snickers to me is the superior, right? That is the perfect mix of ingredients. It just, there's something about it. And that whole shit of, that slogan of a Snickers set, it does, man. It really, it feels hearty, right? When you eat
It
it.
does.
And I love it, man, because I like peanuts, right? Like you said, I like the nougat, the caramel, everything. Snickers is just a great mix. And Snickers is one of those that's, it's almost perfect, even more perfect as a fun size, bite size type thing. And I don't know, there's something about it where it's just like, it's like it's perfect. And getting those fun size Halloween size, it's just that is great. Again, that is my number two. I love Snickers. That's one of my favorite candy bars of all time. If I'm out and I'm trying to get something to get it, a little sugar rush, man, I will lots of times grab a Snickers because I don't know, it's delicious and it's just one of those deals where you, I don't know, you feel like you get more bang for your buck with it. There's really a
Yeah.
lot going on there, and it really works for me. And I don't know who some of these people are that sat around and came up with these concoctions for candy, but whoever came up with that concoction of Snickers, if it's a Mr. Snickers or who it is, man, buddy, you need to be on the freaking a mural somewhere because you nailed it. So again, Snickers, you're number three, my number two. So let's kick it back to you, Ike. What is your number two favorite candy?
Also, I'm quoting it. I'm pretty sure you and I have the same number one. But
Probably.
my number two is 100 gram bar. If you, I'm sh
Yeah.
that's a little bit lesser known, I feel like. I mean, you probably see them in stores, but 100 gram bars, they got like the caramel and they got that those little rice crisps and things in there
Yeah.
and the chocolate on the outside. The other day, honestly, this one would not, if you would have done this, like, let's say like a week or two ago, would not have clocked my top three. But the other day, my wife, Kayla, she works at a library and they had an event with a lot of candy and she brought home a couple pieces just for us to snack on. She brought me 100 grand and I ate that thing. And I don't know, it was like the second coming of Jesus. It was so good. And it reminded me how good that freaking candy bar is. So I was like, I have to put it in my top three this week. 100 gram bar is delicious and it is very
Yes,
underrated.
it is definitely, and it's a. I love 100 grams, and but it's one of those candies that I will never get on my own, just through the year. This is one of those candies that's very much strikes me for Halloween, right? Because you get that assorted bag that has
Right.
them in there, and it's like you eat it. It's like, oh, I forget how much I like this. I should get these more regularly, and then I don't. But I do love the 100 grand. It's a, they are. It's a very nice mixture of ca for candy. And I love it. And it's another candy I forgot. I
Yeah.
don't think it would again. I don't think it would have cracked my top three or anything. Might have got an honorable mention maybe, but I do love 100 grand. And yeah, I would venture to guess we probably have the same number one as a lot of people would because I'm sorry, folks. There is a definitive most perfect candy out there, and it is basically it's Reese's Cups, right? The combination of peanut butter and chocolate. Literally, there should be monuments raised all across this country for whoever concocted that, because it is perfect. I am a sucker for anything they put out, and I will tell you one of the best things that Reese's has ever done. Have you ever had the big cup with the potato chips in it?
I have, and it is, oh my God, those are so good.
It is. Freaking delicious. And I love all those. I like the ones with the Reese's Puff in them. I like the one with the caramel in them and whatever else they've done. The pretzels, that's pretty good too. But man, the one with the potato chips, holy crap, that is so good. It's a salty and sweet combination that is unlike any other. But there is nothing, there's nothing to top just the standard old Reese's cup, right? It is the perfect proportion of chocolate and peanut butter. I don't know there, man. There's something, even the shape, right? And those grooves and the way I don't know, man. They have hit the perfect marks on everything, and it is beautiful. I always lean towards the big cup. I want a little more for my money,
Right.
but I mean, if it's got that Reese's name and that Reese's logo on it, I will try it. And chances are better or not, I will love it. I absolutely love the combination of chocolate and peanut butter. First of all, I'm a peanut butter fiend. I love peanut butter
Oh,
and
yeah.
love it. But to me, there's no two things that go better together than chocolate and peanut butter.
Man, I want a Reese's cup so bad right now.
Me too.
I'm like a crack addict. I need a hit,
That's right.
but
And you want it even better? You want even better, man. They're even better chilled. Oh,
oh yeah.
and I love it when you go to like a gas station or a convenience store or whatever, and they've got them in with the soft drinks, and they're chilled. Oh my gosh, that's the best. That
Listen,
is the best.
like you said, as long as I have known Dave, if
Yep.
there is one thing I could say about Dave, it is that he has a passion for A, peanut butter, and as an extension of peanut butter, Reese's cups.
Yep.
And I love peanut butter too, obviously. Peanut butter is one of those things that like I have eaten since I was a child in some way, shape, or form, and I have continued to eat. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I love peanut butters and fruit. I love peanut butter on celery. I love peanut butter and crackers. I love peanut butter by itself. I will eat that shit
Me too.
straight out of that jar with no shame.
Me
But
too.
there is,
Go ahead. No, you finish first.
I was just gonna say, but there is nothing that is more in terms of peak performance as far as peanut butter goes than with Reese's Cups. You know,
Absolutely.
Dave said it, though, the cup shape, the wrappers, the big cups are so good. I recently, they have a lava cake big cup
Oh
Reese's
yeah.
cup. Oh
Oh
my
yeah.
God. That is
Yeah.
easily one of the most decadent pieces of candy I have ever consumed. Like, it made my jaw hurt how sweet it was, but I was
Oh.
literally dying of how good it was. But like you said, the potato chips, the pretzels, I mean, oh, they have like
Oh.
Reese's pretzels, but Reese's
Yeah.
cups with pretzels.
And even if you venture over into the snack cakes, right? Some of the Reese's snack cake. Oh my gosh. And you know what? Hey, man, as far as my love for peanut butter, I eat peanut butter on some of the weirdest ass shit. And it would probably, people would scoff at it, but I'm telling you, nobody should scoff until you try it. Because in my mind, peanut butter is a condiment, right? That's what I seem, right? It's a protein, but it's kind of got. I mean, one of my favorite things to eat is a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich. People will scoff at that and like, ugh, try it. Holy shit, it's amazing. I will eat peanut butter with bologna. I have eaten peanut butter with lettuce on a sandwich. That's not my favorite. You know, it's good, but it's not, I don't go back to that much. I'm telling you, peanut butter and mayonnaise, though, I will forever stand by that sandwich. And of course, there's the classic peanut butter and banana, which is, ooh, that is spectacular.
Oh, and you can't forget Fluffernutters.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I had
absolutely.
one of
I
those last
mean,
night.
love peanut butter. I'm willing to try peanut butter with pretty much anything. I love it. Love it. I mean, I'm one of those guys that you go out, you know, get a peanut butter shake, try different things with peanut. Oh, love peanut butter. Peanut butter is just perfect. But like you said, in a cup form, surrounded by chocolate. Oh, perfection.
It really
It
is.
is. There's a reason why, if you look it up, it is probably the favorite Halloween candy. Probably the favorite candy, I would suspect. I don't know. I mean, I would think because it's so perfect. It just works on all levels. It's good all year round, but it just does scream because, right? I love the peanut butter pumpkins. I love the peanut butter trees at Christmas. I love that they lean into the holidays. They lean into, you know, another candies do it also, but with Reese's it just works, right? Because
Well,
it's nice because you get a peanut butter pumpkin. It's a little different than a cup, right? But it's still that same combination of flavors. But it's just a different, approach to it, right? It's just a little different.
and I was going to say something that me and Caleb talked about with Reese's Cups. We have a theory because, in my opinion, I love Reese's Cups. Like, obviously, they're the best, but one of the best versions of a peanut butter cup are the peanut butter eggs that come out
Oh,
around Easter time.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that shape outdoes the flavor of all other shapes. And I am convinced it is because the proportions of peanut butter to chocolate, it is slightly more peanut butter than chocolate with the eggs, I feel like, just because of how oblong it is. And I just feel like it works better. I'm not sure about that. I could just be a nut job, but absolutely the eggs are the best in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I love them all. I mean, dude, I love when you get the little extra peanut. Well, I don't know all those different things they do, right? With the peanut butter on top, with the little extra peanut butter, and they do all kinds of things now with Reese's, right? They're all good, and but you can't top the original.
You
And
can.
oh, we got to move on because I am getting hungry.
I know,
And
me too. My stomach's over here growling. I
oh,
haven't had dinner
yeah,
yet. That
me neither. And this is.
was a little
Yeah, this is killing me. This was not probably the wisest idea for a top three for us. So let's take a break so that maybe we can catch our breath and clear our mind. And I don't know, man, wipe the saliva off our chins or
idea.
whatever. But when we come back, we will have news, birthdays, and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off strong, our favorite clown, Art, has some news for us. Yeah. Terrifier 3 crossed $50 million box office worldwide, which makes it the highest grossing unrated film of all time. This should surprise no one that Terrifier 3 is just absolutely blowing itself out of the water compared to its predecessors. Terrifier 3 is continuing to perform extraordinarily well, and I expect that it will continue to perform extraordinarily well.
Yeah, it's just, man, it's, I'm not surprised by this at all, but it's so, it's so cool. It's like almost vindication, right? It's almost like, for all of us, whether you're super into the Terrifiers, just as a horror fan, it's almost like you have to see something like this and just, you just have to feel like, yeah, right? Vindicated, right? It's like, this is one of our horror films, the top grossing, unrated film of all time, doing so well. And it's just, man, it's so cool to see something like this. Then you double down on the fact that I'm just a huge fan of the franchise. That just makes it that much cooler. It's exciting. It's exciting. I'm so happy for all those guys associated with it. They're just, again, it's hard to fathom that in the scope of things, they're still just kind of a mom or pop film and company, right? It's a bunch of friends and brothers and different things doing this still. And yeah, their funding's better and this and that, but they're still that same group of guys that's done them all. So it's so cool, the success they've gotten. And it's exciting. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I expect that, like we said, they'll continue to have lots of success in the coming future. So,
yeah.
Moving on to In a Violent Nature is now available to purchase on DVD and Blu-ray with over 3 hours of bonus features. Now, this is insane to me. I feel like bonus features is sort of a lost art as it pertains to, horror movies and just movies in general. But seeing that this has over 3 hours very much makes me want to purchase this on Blu-ray because I love bonus features. I am a sucker for behind the scenes and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, it's that's pretty cool. I wonder what all is involved in it. It's like that's a lot of, I'm assuming, some talk about the effects and the different things and stuff. It's yeah, it's pretty exciting. That's the kind of stuff that us junkies like, right? We like not only do we like the movies, but we want to see a little behind the scene, a little peek behind the curtain. And yeah, obviously in A Violent Nature, it looks like they're giving us plenty of it. So everybody rush out. And we've talked about it before. Let's keep physical media alive. So go out and buy your copy.
Yeah, absolutely. Physical media is king. But moving on to when discussing a Scream 7 return in a recent interview, Patrick Dempsey said there has been a conversation about it and he's waiting on a script to review. My only words of caution here are get that motherfucking script to him as quick as possible so he can say yes, because we want to see Patrick Dempsey in the next Scream film. It would be fantastic to see him with, Sydney, and especially if we get the return of our boy Stu. That would be a very nice little cherry on top to bring in some legacy characters and make this a solid, solid sequel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it'll happen, right? Whether one way or another, no matter how prominent the role or not, I think we'll see Dempsey in the movie in some capacity. If the script was strong enough to get Neve Campbell to say yes and come on board, supposedly. Courtney Cox is on board. That's not been announced or anything. But anyway, I think Dempsey, it'll be good enough for him. And, whether he has a big role or not, I think we'll see him in some capacity in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he doesn't, I guess we'll have to find Patrick Dempsey and force him to do Scream 8 or 9 or 10 or whichever next one they make. I kid. But, good stuff. So moving on to some upcoming birthdays, November the 2nd, which crazy to think that we are literally on the brink of November. But November 2nd, 1981, Catherine Isabel, known of course for her role in Ginger Snaps, but also as Freddy vs. Jason and Supernatural, another alum. Catherine Isabel is a very talented actress, and yeah, I mean she's done a lot of stuff that Dave and I both like, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean her role in Supernatural is I think it was Anna, what they her name was. She was great. Freddy versus Jason, she was good in that. But yeah, she was excellent in Ginger Snaps as one of the two main leads. So yeah, I love Catherine Isabel. I really think, I really think I w really wish I guess she would have gotten more opportunity. I would like to see her in more projects. And then I know her Chris. What was she was in something recently. I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah, she was.
As
I
an
don't.
aunt.
Yeah. Oh, it was it's a vi no, it's a Wonderful Knife.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I was gonna say it was a Christmas horror movie. Yeah, she was in that as kind of an aunt. So yeah, she's still working and stuff. But I've always been a huge fan of hers, and love seeing her in anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually just looking at her IMDb, but she's also in a movie called American Mary from 2012 that's actually really, really good. But she does also have some upcoming projects as well, so she's definitely not out of the game yet for sure.
Good. Good, good, good.
But moving on to November 3rd, 1946, the man, the myth, the legend, Tom Savini. Of course, he is known for his extensive work in makeup and effects, but he also had a small role in Terrifier 3 as
Yeah.
a person being interviewed from the mall scene in that film.
Yeah.
But also, he's worked on a shit ton of movies. He worked on some of the Evil Dead stuff. He's worked on other zombie movies. I don't remember which ones, but I know he was on one of them. Didn't he work on the original Friday the 13th, if I'm
He
remembering correctly?
did. Yeah. I mean, he Savini originated so many of the effect, practical effects, and some of his understudies and guys that trained with him have carried on that. So if it's practical effects, Tom Savini developed so much of that. But yes, he did work on the original Friday the 13th amongst so many others. Just I mean, look him up. It's got it's the laundry list of horror. It is a I mean, it's just a list of the classic, and he does have quite a few acting credits to his name as well. But I love Tom Savini. I mean, such an impact on horror.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, just from those few things that we could call off the top of our head, I mean, those are still very significant works that have impacted the modern pop culture of horror for sure. So,
Absolutely.
but happy birthday to him. And moving on a few days later to November 3rd, or I should say, a few days later and a few years later, November 6th, 1970, Ethan Hawke, known for his roles in Sinister and The Black Phone, as well as The Purge and many, many others. Obviously Ethan Hawke I would put him in legendary status at this point. I mean, even as like a dramatic actor, he's done a lot of great things. Things like Training Day. But even beyond that, he's done a lot of horror films, and he's done, I would say, pretty considerable films for the genre. And I love Ethan Hawke. If you put him in a movie, I'm most likely gonna watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you just take, I mean, Sinister and Black Phone alone for horror, I mean, that's, man, that's a pretty good one too. Those are two great films. Of course, he's also going to be in the upcoming Black Phone 2, among other things. But yeah, I mean, Ethan Hawke is just, he's great. And anything he's in, just, it's like it automatically gives it that next level credibility just for the fact that he's in it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But there you go. We have our birthdays out of the way. So we're going to move on to upcoming movie birthdays or anniversaries, as you may call it. November 1st, 1985, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. Of course, this is a decent sequel. I think that this film gets a lot of bad rep for the wrong reasons. But it's a very good movie. I still enjoy the film, and I do watch it every year, of course. I've not done my Nightmare rewatch this year, so that is on the schedule. But Freddy Part 2 Electric Boogaloo is a very good film, despite what some detractors may say.
Yeah, I like it. I enjoy it. Mark Patton, I think, is great in it. Despite all the bullshit that he had to put up with, while filming, and that's been discussed. I'm not going to go into it. Just look it up if you must. It's still, I mean, it's a decent sequel. He did great in it. I think the concept is okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the Nightmare franchise, I don't know, it's weird. It's almost like their sequels. I feel like there's less of like it's a little more consistent through their sequels. You know what I mean? It's like despite my absolute bias towards three Dream Warriors, I love that. But as you go through, it's like there's not like a significant drop off. I don't feel. I feel like they're all pretty consistent. It's not like none of them are. They're not like they're great, right? It's not like any of them are, still on the level of the original. But it's like they're all pretty catchy, original, fresh type looks, and none of them is like you don't feel like the bottom really drops out on any of them, where you can pinpoint one movie where you said, "Oh, yep, that's where the franchise really fell out." I feel like they're all pretty consistent, pretty entertaining for the most part. Maybe more than any other franchise if you go, across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. And like you said, check that out if you haven't watched Nightmare 2. But yeah, it's good stuff. Moving on now to a film from before 1985, November 3rd, 1976, the original Carrie. Of course, this is with Sissy Spacek. Is that the right way to say that? Yeah, so the OG Sissy Spacek Stephen King film. Of course, this is a fantastic interpretation of Stephen King's film Carrie, or I'm sorry, book Carrie. And of course, there's been a few remakes. And as you were probably heard last week, there is going to be a Carrie television show headed up by Mike Flanagan. So all of that started by the OG in 76.
Yeah, there's been, lots of stuff. It's all good, entertaining, but the original to me is just so great, such a great interpretation of it, and I love it. It's a great, great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, if you've never seen that film, that should definitely be on your list to watch.
Yep, definitely.
Moving on to November 4th, 1988, They Live. So it has been a long while since I've seen They Live, but this, of course, is the famous Roddy Piper movie, where he wears sunglasses and sees some spooky shit. If I recall correctly, it's a fun, campy time, but that's the best kind of time.
I love this movie. This movie's so good. Of course, I love Roddy Piper, but yeah, the glasses allow him to see the aliens, the subliminal messages and things, different things. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty hard take on commercialism and different things like that. But yeah, there's a lot going on in it, but it's a very, very fun movie. It's still a very entertaining watch. So I highly advise if anybody's not seen it or hasn't seen it in a while to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last but not least, moving on to November 4th, 2008, Return to Sleepaway Camp. This is an okay movie, it was something. It's a very hard movie to find.
It is.
If you're picking up when I'm stepping in. And when you do find this movie and you watch it, you're like, I don't know if the effort put into this was quite worth it. For completionists, that was what my thought process was. I like to have at least seen all the movies within a franchise at least once. So for me, it was worthwhile, sitting down and watching all these movies. But yeah, Return to Sleepaway Camp was a little bit of a stinker in my opinion. It lives up to some of the original vibes, and maybe I need to go back and rewatch it sometime. But yeah, it's all right.
It's a little goofy, a little cheesy, and a little campy compared to the original, and that's saying something. The original's a
Really?
classic. I love the original. This one pretty much it ignores all the other sequels. It's a direct sequel to the original, and it is what it is. The main reason it's mentioned and it's kind of prominent, right? It's Lisa Rose returning to the franchise. She's involved in it. Honestly, I don't know. If you're going to get down to it, I think the other sequels are probably They're not great, but they're probably better films. But with Pamela Springsteen, this one's it's okay, but it is super kind of low budget, and it doesn't. Yeah, while there are vibes from the original, it's not really on that creative level. It's trying to tap into it. It works a little, doesn't work some. So it's okay. But again, it does have a prominent place because of Felisa Rose returning to that franchise. So, take that for what you will.
Yeah. Right. And like you said, the other, because there's technically there's five Sleepaway Camp movies. You got one, you got the two and three, which have like you said, Pamela Springsteen. You have four, which isn't really a movie, more as a super cut of the other movies with a little bit of background story. And
Yeah.
then you have five, which is Return. You know, like you said, I think five is better than four. But I do think that two and three are better than five, and then of course one is better than all of them. But
Yeah.
you know, like you said, it's sort of weird like how everything transpired at that time. You know, and we've talked about it before. There's a book about Sleepaway Camp and sort of the
Yeah.
production and everything else, which is a great book that we've, you know, we I know I've read. I believe you've probably read it too, Dave.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just it's very interesting how it all kind of transpired. So, but yeah, I mean, it's Sleepaway Camp. So, what more can you say?
But you are dead on. It's so hard to find because it is not streaming anywhere.
No.
Literally, it's like if you're doing it above ground, if you do not have a physical copy, you just can't watch it. It's just
Yeah.
that's the way it is. So that
Yep.
I don't know what all that is, what's involved with that, but why that is, but it is what it is. That's the way it is.
Yep. Like we said, physical media is key, especially when rights and all that bullshit's always jumping around and never consistent.
Right.
So,
That's right.
but moving on to some upcoming releases. We have Terrifier 3 releasing on video on demand with a fast turnaround of November the 26th. Considering that this movie is still blowing the box office up as we speak, having a November 26th release on digital is fantastic. There have been a lot of rumors as to where this will stream once a streaming service is selected. I have heard things like, you know, Screambox, because that's where the other ones are. I have also heard, I don't know if this is a legitimate rumor or not, but I have heard Max is looking at picking up the rights for streaming.
Yeah, I do know Screambox is getting the first streaming rights when it comes because they had a hand in the production. It will be video on demand November 26th. Then sometime after that, it will be hitting Screambox. There's no date to that yet, and there is the potential for it to step up to a bigger platform after that. But because of Screambox's hand in the production, probably I would venture to guess, just off the cuff, probably a financial stake in supporting the film, they do get the first rights to streaming. So at least for a while, it will be on Screambox probably alone, which is good for them because it will
Right.
probably give them a bump of subscriptions. But here's hoping. I mean, I'll buy it video on demand. I'm not going to wait, right? It's when it hits video on demand, I want to see it, and I want to see it again. And I don't want to wait for it to hit streaming. As soon as I can get digitally get it, I want to be able to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And moving on to Cellar Door is coming to video on demand on November the 1st. This film is described as looking for a fresh start after a miscarriage. A couple finds themselves being gifted with the house of their dreams with one caveat. They can never open the cellar door. Whether they can live without knowing triggers shocking consequences. This is certainly an interesting film. I mean, it just seems interesting. I'm the thing that is primarily driving me to be curious about this is because I want to know what's in the cellar. But I would be a little pissed off if it was like nothing. but
Absolutely.
yeah, I mean, I'll check this out. That'd be cool.
Yeah, me too. And just as a note, anybody out there that would like to gift me a house of my dreams, bitch, I ain't going to that cellar if you want me to. I'm cool with that. So go ahead. Give me that house. I'm good. So there you go.
You're like, I'll keep that shit sealed up tight. You won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not a big
But
cellar person anyway, right? I'm like, yeah, a little creepy. I'm okay with keeping that sucker locked up and not going down there. But no, it sounds like an interesting concept. But you're right. It all rides on what's that big reveal, right? What's in that cellar? And it's kind of going to be make or break for me when that reveal ultimately happens. So we'll see.
True story. Moving on to our last bit of release news, we have He Never Left coming to video on demand on November the 5th. So, pretty strong start to November so far. But it is described as, after hearing disturbing noises from the next hotel room, a fugitive on the run and his girlfriend become prey to the notoriously brutal Pale Face Killer, whose legend has haunted the local decade for, I'm sorry, a local community for decades. I with a name like Pale Face Killer, I'm all for that. Now, I am curious if this is like, because like in Native American tribes, they sometimes call like white folk the pale face. So I wonder if it's like a Native American killer that kills pale people, or if
No, no,
this
no,
is
no.
like,
It's
okay.
nothing like that. No. It's kind of a mass killer type thing. Yeah. This is very
Gotcha.
kind of traditional slasher throwback. Looks very cool. It's kind of a to me, it gives me that retro vibe, right? That old slasher. There's Michael Myers, right? That kind of deal. So
Gotcha.
yeah, that's I think to me, I think the Pale Face Killer is more a play on like the white Michael Myers mask because it's a little
Gotcha.
reminiscent of that from the drawing, the picture. I see there is a picture, I think a poster depiction of the killer out there. If people want to look it up, but it does. It looks pretty cool, right? It's kind of. It seems to me like a very kind of old schooly slasher type film. So that's my bread and butter. I'm excited.
Yeah, I just pulled up a picture, and that's a pretty spooky looking mask, I gotta say. So yeah, I'll have to check that out. Like you said, I'm always down for a good slasher movie. Obviously, I mean, you can't beat that. You can't beat a cheesy slasher, which I presume it may be. But all right, well, there you have it. Now is the perfect time to say, if you haven't already, follow us on social media. That way, you don't have to wait until the podcast to check out our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So go ahead and give us a follow and subscribe. And when we come back, we will have our countdown of our top five favorite Halloween-based movies. So stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
And welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. This is time. This is the segment where we typically do a review, but not this episode. Since this is our Halloween special, we are doing our top five favorite Halloween holiday-based movies. These movies are horror movies that center around the holiday itself of Halloween in some capacity. Whether it takes place at the holiday, whether the theme of the movie is the holiday, something in that genre. So this is our top five countdown. So Ike, why don't you hit us and start us off with number five?
Absolutely. So we're starting off with our good friend Matt Sampier's masterpiece. We are talking about Creeping Death from 2024. You can stream this on Screambox. Of course, this is written and directed by Matt Sampier, and it is described as, Tim's mother has brain cancer, but his friends steal a mysterious sack, unleashing a spirit on Halloween night. We have a full review of this, plus an interview with Matt himself in our archives. Now, Dave and I have talked about this movie a lot, in fact, and we have a full review. We both love this movie, and one of the reasons we love this movie is the feels, the Halloween feels. It is so spectacularly fall in this film, and that works so well with Halloween movies, but very specifically this film. It has a very nice ambience, and it has a very nice theme and feel and vibe. And beyond just the very cool concept of the film and some of the fun, cheesy stuff that happens, it feels like a Halloween movie. A lot of times these films don't give you that feeling because they're filmed during the summer and the people who decided to do that didn't really care or really think about it. But this film does it completely differently, which is why we love it.
Absolutely. It's a great, great movie. Matt nailed it with this movie. Again, we're not going to go too deep into it because we have a full review. We do have our interview with Matt where we talk to him about making the movie and whatnot. But it is, the movie centers around some Halloween folklore, right? Some Halloween, whatever you want to call it, your tradition, not tradition, whatever you want to call it, right? A Halloween demon, per se.
Mythology.
Mythology. There you go. That's what I was trying to think of. But like you said, not only that, but it does make you, it just gives you that feel of fall and of Halloween. Just everything about it, the way it's shot, the settings, just everything. Just it just nails it. So go check it out. Again, like you said, it is on Screambox. And that came in as our number five favorite Halloween holiday-based movie. Again, I believe this is the newest movie on our list. It is. Well done, Matt. I can't just sing the praises of this movie enough. So good,
Yeah.
especially this time of year. So, moving on, our number four favorite Halloween holiday-based movie is from 2000, Ginger Snaps. You can watch the movie on Shudder. The movie was written by Jon Fawcett and Karen Walton, directed by Jon Fawcett, and is described as two death-obsessed sisters must deal with the consequences when one of them is bitten by a werewolf. This does star the birthday girl that we talked about earlier, Catherine Isabel, in it, as well as Emily Perkins in the other as the other sister. This was one of those movies that I absolutely fell in love with. I told Ike, you gotta watch this movie. He watched it, absolutely loved it. So much going on in this movie. It does take place around Halloween. It is such a fresh, original take on werewolves. There is a great take from the female perspective as well, right? There's a lot of underlying whatever you want to call it. I'm again, I don't know how to say it because I'm not female, but there's a lot of underlying whatever I don't know what I'm gonna say. There's a lot to say there about females and what some of the stuff they deal with in life, both physically, etc.
It's in a and it's a sort of an exploration of like the 2000s era, honestly, but it is also an exploration of the basically what females have, like you said, the female, the problems they have to deal with on the daily basis, both societal and personal, but it also sort of deals with that concept of female rage and all of that. But I'll pass it back to you.
And it's a lot of it. They're representing with the werewolf, right? The werewolf side of it, right? That's a representation of some of these things. The movie's very clever, very well done. Isabel and Perkins are great in the role, in their roles. Absolutely knocked it out of the park. The movie is, it is, it's just great, right? It's not like your typical werewolf movie. It's so clever, it's so fresh, and it's super original. And it is such a enjoyable watch. It does have like I said, a great underlying message to it. But it's just such a great movie. It's such an underappreciated movie, Ike.
Yeah, it really is. And this was one that, like you said, I had never personally seen myself. And you were like, hey, you need to watch this movie. And I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And I did. And I was like, wow, I truly have been missing out. Now the sequels, the second one is really good in my opinion, but the third one is a little weird. But the Ginger Snaps, it is certainly an underappreciated movie from that era. And it, like you said, it definitely touches on things that I feel like really resonate with women. And my wife watched it and she greatly appreciated the film. She's like, I see what you're saying. It's a really good movie. It's genuinely good. And it touches on that societal perspective that, with the shit that women have to deal with, unfortunately. And it It's a very good movie. It's both, has that sort of underlying social commentary, but it's also a genuinely good horror movie. The body horror that is involved with that is top notch. One of my favorite genres of horror is body horror. The transfiguration and the just, the disembodiment of humans is such a weird concept, and it's so gross and scary, and it's just, oh, so good. Chef's kiss all around.
Absolutely, such a great movie. Like you said, the sequel is part two. It's all right. It's not too bad. It's pretty decent. Third one is they tried something different. Didn't work for me, but but none of them touched the first one. So let's
True.
move on. Ike, go ahead and hit us with that number three.
I'll hit you with the number three. We have Terrifier 2 from 2022. You could, of course, watch this film on Screenbox, but this is, of course, written and directed by our friend Damien Leone, and it is described as, after being resurrected by a sinister entity, Art the Clown returns to Miles County. We, of course, have a full review of this film in our archives, and this was our favorite freaking horror movie of 2022. Now, I cannot begin to tell you how much we love this movie, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this simply because we have talked this movie to death on this podcast. You can pull up any episode, and we will at least talk about this film for 5 minutes or more. Not only that, Terrifier 2, it is an iconic film that Damien Leone will forever be known as. And I cannot stress it enough. If you are looking for a new age horror slasher, check out the Terrifier movies. You will not be disappointed. But I'm going to send it over to Dave to give his comments on this wonderful film.
Yeah, again, look at, go to the review if you want to hear and more talking in depth, but I love this movie. I absolutely love it. Such a good film. Of course, takes place on Halloween or around Halloween, which, pulls it in here. I would venture, hey, if we were doing this for Christmas, Terrifier 3 would be right up there as well now because it takes place around Christmas. But this is such a good movie. And I'm not, not going to say much more because if you want to hear, you got to go and listen to the review in the archive because we spew on about it a lot. So let's just move on. And our number two favorite Halloween holiday movie is an absolute classic. It is Trick or Treat, 2007. You can watch this movie on Max. It is written and directed by Michael Dougherty, described as five interwoven stories. Take place on Halloween night in Warren Valley, Ohio. We do have a full review of this in our archives, I believe from our first year where we tried to center in on Halloween-based movies in October. But we have talked about this movie numerous times with anniversaries and different things that have come up. Trick or Treat is one of the best episodic or whatever I'm trying to say, right? Where there are segments.
Anthology.
Anthology. God, I'm just having so much trouble with words today. Yeah, it's one of the best anthology type films because it really nails down that there's these independent stories and independent happenings, but it is all connected and it's all intertwined. And you see that throughout the wraparound stories and everything else. You see all that, how it's connected and intertwined beautifully, done so well. But again, this is one of those movies, like we mentioned earlier with Creeping Death, that not only is it just a great film, not only is it well written, well filmed, just works with these segments of the anthology so well, but it's one of those movies that when you watch it, man, it feels like Halloween. Everything about it, right? There's trick-or-treating, there's a Halloween party, there's and everything else. But not only that, but just the cherry on top of the sundae is Michael Dougherty created one of the most iconic horror characters, per se, one of the most iconic Halloween characters in Sam ever. This character is just perfect, right? He's so great in every way. And he's perfect for horror movies, but he's perfect for Halloween, right? Because this is the guy that, he's defending the rules of Halloween. That's essentially his objective. And that's such a cool take. But everything about him, right, is so it's classic. The look and the approach, the behavior, just everything. He nailed this character. And for something that is one movie so far that did not get a theatrical release, This is one of the most merchandised characters out there
Oh yeah.
based on that. That is, dude, you got to take a moment to let that sink in, because that is incredible that you have this character who's up there with your Jasons, your Freddies, your Michaels, your Arts, your Pinheads, your whatever, your Leatherfaces. This guy's right up there with them, and he's only got one film that didn't get a theatrical release. But I mean, talk about impactful. That alone says it. I
Yeah.
mean, it has seeped into pop culture, and the general consensus. There is obviously, supposedly, a part two that's in the works. I don't know what's happening with it. Everything's hush hush. We don't get a lot. I haven't seen a lot of news. There's supposed to be a second one. I don't know when it's happening. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know where it stands and what in development. I don't know. But I hope it happens, because I have full faith that Doherty will deliver another home run with that. But Trick or Treat is absolutely one of the greatest Halloween holiday movies of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it is crazy to me that this film never got a theatrical release, but they are hoeing out Sam like it is nobody's fucking business. This guy is everywhere. You walk into a Spirit Halloween, Sam's face is literally everywhere. He's got costumes. You can buy candy that is in the shape of his sucker. I mean, there's literally like a billion different things that you can buy that are trick or treat related, and it is just crazy to me. And like you said, it has never graced a theater screen as an official release. Now, I have a strong feeling that if it hasn't already been planned, we will probably get some theater screenings before the second one comes out. But like you said, I mean, Trick or Treat 2 is a it, I don't know, I keep using this phrase, but truly Trick or Treat is lightning in a bottle. This film literally captured the essence of Halloween, but it also struck at the right time, and it had the right audience, right? It may have been direct to DVD or whatever at the time, but it literally captured an audience of people, and it continues to capture an audience of people. A film that is, 17 years old, but it is still is super relevant with, pop culture. And like you said, Sam is an iconic character as he defends the rules of Halloween, and it is a super amazing film. It really is. And like you said, it's an anthology film, which I know isn't everyone's cup of tea, but if I had to say, if I had to give this any sort of like, if I had to give this sort of any, I guess, well, I don't know what the word is, but if I were to like sell this to someone, I would say this is easily the best anthology film of all time. Like, there are a lot of really good anthology films, but this one tops it. It takes the cake.
This is the blueprint, because like we've said before, and I don't want to beat this to death, because we have said this multiple times. It does it perfectly, because there, like we said, there are individual stories, but everything's interconnected, and it just all weaves together so well that it's like you're watching individual stories, but yet you're watching one major story too. And it's just God, it's so good the way they've done this, and it's so clever. It's just masterful, masterful. And there has been other materials out there in the form of graphic novels. Michael Dougherty has written them all, I believe. There's a new one that just came out. I don't recall the name. I've just seen it out there online. So you'll go to Amazon or whatever and check that out if you want. There are some future stories, some other stories in this realm that Michael Dougherty has written in the form of graphic novels. So you can check that out. I don't know if any of that will parlay over into part two. But it's exciting. It's so wild. It's almost like there's a Trick or Treat franchise with one film. It's so odd. It's just really this peculiar thing that it is as monumental and huge as it is, and there's only one film. It's one of those things that when you see it in the grand context of things, you would feel like it's a whole franchise. There's all kinds of films, but it's not. And it's man, that's something. That's pretty cool. And if we eventually do get a part two with the theatrical release, I man, that sucker's gonna be big. I really believe it. It's just gonna draw like crazy. Hopefully, I have faith it'll be good, but people are gonna be itching to watch that. So
Yeah.
all right, let's move on then. So we have sang the praises of this all the time, like crazy, right? We always talk about how good it is. How is so definitively Halloween holiday? So what topped that? Ike, lay it on us. What is our number one favorite Halloween holiday-based movie?
I mean, truly, this should be absolutely no surprise or shock to
No.
anybody whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. But nonetheless, our number one is the OG, the original gangster. We have Halloween from 1978. Now, of course, if you wanted to watch this, you could probably stream this anywhere, buy it anywhere,
Nice.
but primarily it's on Shudder. You can check this out on Shudder. It is written by Deborah Hill and John Carpenter, directed by John Carpenter, and is described as Michael Myers escapes from a mental hospital and returns to the small town of Haddonfield to kill again. We have a Halloween franchise episode in our archive, so again, we won't beat this to death, but this is another one of those movies that we bring up constantly. It is the blueprint to all slasher films, and in my opinion, is probably one of the most, if not the most, important slasher film of all time. There is no other film that I can think that has developed and monopolized the tropes of a horror genre like this film. And Dave and I absolutely love and adore this movie. If someone were to come to me tomorrow and say, "Hey, what's your favorite horror movie?" My general answer is either this or Terrifier. Like,
Yeah.
Halloween is just so iconic and classic, and it's just hard to beat.
Absolutely. Again, when people ask me my favorite, this is my answer, right? Because to break it down, it's hard to beat, right? It every time I watch it, it still is so good. And it is the movie that if someone came up to me and said, "You know what? I've never really been into horror and this and that. Give me a film to watch that you think I would like or that would hook me." I'm gonna say, bam, no delay, Halloween 1978. Watch it. Because I really feel like pretty much anybody would like this film, right? I know some people don't like to be scared, right? That's okay. I get it. The movie does have some scares, but it's not so over the top that it makes you uncomfortable like some movies, right? It's not gore heavy, right? With that kind of stuff. There's enough there, but it keeps it checked. We have talked about it before. This movie, it's so much about it's not so much about what you're seeing, it's what you're not seeing, right? That shape in the shadows, right? The suspense of is he there, is he not there, that kind of thing. That's what this movie is built on. And this, I mean, can't say anything, but this movie is perfect. The movie is absolutely perfect. From the casting to the way it's shot, to the scenes, to the editing, to the soundtrack, just everything. This movie is perfect. There's a reason that this movie has laid the blueprint for so many other films. This is the re there. There's that, every horror icon that came after it, no matter what they are, how they're established, this is what they follow, right? Because Michael Myers was the first icon. He's the first horror icon of a character that got to that level of, no matter what you put him in, if it's Michael Myers, people will watch it. He was the first. I know there's people argue about, oh, what's the first slasher? Whatever. Michael Myers is the first icon. Now I know you, hey, you know what? People argue this and that, and they might want to say, no, Michael Myers is the first horror icon. He's the first that people will turn out to see him, that are obsessed with him. And again, I'm not going to beat this, right? Go listen to our franchise episode. We talk about this movie all the time. It comes up in different discussions, because again, it is just the definitive answer for so much.
It is.
I mean, it's what if you want to put one piece of the horror genre in a museum to be representative. I'm sorry, I love so many films. I love so many characters. I love so much. But if I want to represent the best qualities of horror, and I want to present to everybody, it's going to be this film, because this film has it all. And anything that the major stuff I love about horror is built off the back of this film. Now, do I love some horror before 1978? Yep, I do. But it's not to the same level as what I love from 1978 on. Right, all the stuff that I love. I'm a slasher guy, and I'm a cheesy slasher guy, and this and that. And I'm not saying Halloween's cheesy, but it is it, it developed some of those tropes that became cheesy and became a little, at some point in time, overdone, whatever you want to call it. But this is what established all the things I love. And when I pick out my favorite movies and my comfort horror movies, you could trace them all back to they're relatable to this movie in some way. There's parallels. I mean, even the Terrifiers, which I love, there's parallels, right? There's parallels. I mean, besides the obvious Silent Killer, right? There's parallels. So, it is, to me, it's a definitive horror movie, but even more finite, it's right there in the title, people. It is the definitive Halloween movie, holiday movie, because it takes place on Halloween night. That's the centerpiece. There's, kids trick-or-treating, there's carving, they're carving pumpkins, they're watching. All those things we love about Halloween is happening in this movie. And it has those vibes, it has those feels. It's got everything. It's great. It is there's a reason. I'm spoiler, we've not got to that in our Spooktober watch, but it's a reason that as we got down, it's like, okay, we're establishing what our list is. Okay, Halloween night, it's Halloween 1978. No brainer. That's what you put there. That's what you watch. Now, to be fair with our favorites, hey, what did we put on October 30th to watch the night before? That's trick or treat. Number two. So, that's what we that's our 1-2. I'm sorry. Halloween 1978 is it's in a level of its own. It is as a movie, as a Halloween franchise movie, as a Halloween holiday movie, it is on its own level.
It
And
really is.
so if you say otherwise, you're lying. You're trying to be some kind of just problem child. I mean, come on. I've never heard anybody come up and say, you know what? I hate that movie. I just don't, right? No matter what you like, no matter what style you like, there's still an appreciation for this film. So, and again, like we said earlier, every aspect, right? I mean, it's the most iconic horror music of all time. I mean, it's come on. And there's some iconic horror themes, but you hear that Halloween music, man, you have a reaction because you know what it is. So, okay. Well, we said we weren't going to beat it to death, and I kind of did. So there you have it. It definitely does. I'm a little long-winded sometimes. That is our top five favorite Halloween holiday movies to help celebrate the holiday. Again, this episode is dropping on Halloween. So once again, happy Halloween. Whatever you do, whether it be if you have a party, if you just sit home and watch some movies, whether you partake in an adult beverage and some snack, just have fun. Just let loose of the world. And revel in this thing we love. This is our time, people. We love it year round, but hey, this is our time. This is when the rest of the world joins us a little bit. So, happy Halloween to you. Next episode, we get back to some regularly scheduled programming, back to our routines. Next episode, we will be reviewing Azrael, which is available to watch on Shudder. I hear Azrael, and I always think of the cat off of the Smurfs, but. And also there's also a character on that's a Batman character, correct? Because that's real.
Sure
So,
is.
very multifaceted character and name. So, but again, the movie is available to watch on Shudder. That's what we will be reviewing next episode. We would like to say thank you to our wives, all the listeners and followers for your support and your interactions and everything you do. We love doing these Halloween episodes. Usually it's a bonus episode, but because it fell on our normal scheduled day, so you lost the bonus episode. Sorry, folks. But that's the way it is. But thank you to everybody for all that you do and all your support. So, Ike, before we close out of here, move out of Halloween. Anything you want to add?
Just be sure that, those of you who are going out and partaking in the festivities, make sure you stay safe. They say don't drink and drive, and check your candy. You never know if there might be a, razor blade or whatever other sketchy shit that's in there. And yeah, just have a good, safe, fun time, and Even though the episode comes on Halloween, you have to make it back for our next episode and our episode after that and after that. So we can't have you going anywhere, is what I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. And then enjoy those peanut butter cups for us. I know I
Yes.
certainly will. I enjoy them year round, but yeah, they taste a little sweeter this time of year. So
True story.
that's right. All right. So until that next episode, when we review Asriel, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares. Ah.